really isn't fair to have to follow dancing kids. I'm sorry. But we'll do our best to make policy and policy frameworks really exciting here this afternoon after lunch. As is true for everybody, I'm sure here I come representing the work of a wide number of truly dedicated people, both at the university and in our county health department. So I really want to honor their work, and they're listed, some of them, as co-presenters here today. Where's the mouse? Okay. So this is just to remind us that, yes, indeed, policy development is a core function of public health, but for a lot of us, it's not something we had a lot of training in. And there are increasing calls in the public literature for us to really raise our level of sophistication about policy development, how we do it, how we measure it, what the outcomes are, how we look at it. So, oops, wrong direction. Some of you were probably at the 8:30 presentations by the NOPRIN group. This is another NOPRIN-funded project. I'm lucky to be one of the five funded investigators from CDC. And I don't think they showed this particular framework for policy development, but this is really where we're coming together. And the work I'm going to describe today is under the policy development part of the framework. So, you know, first we need to identify what are policies we want to pursue and why we need to pursue them. And then we need to figure out how to go about getting them done, how to get them on the books, how to get them implemented. And then we need to figure out how to evaluate them. So there's enough work here for all of us to do for a long time. But my particular interest is really that place about, so how does this happen? How do we as practitioners especially make this thing happen? And then a policy is adopted. So we took advantage of the fact that in the state of Washington, there were three local health departments who took very different approaches to the issue of improving restaurant food. So we went in and did what they did. Let me tell you first to set the stage. Basically, in King County, which is our largest county and where the city of Seattle is with support from health department staff, the Board of Health actually passed a regulation. We were the second group to come out after New York City requiring that chain restaurants had menu labeling. So that was a pretty radical approach King County took. And I want to show you some of our results about why we think that could happen in King County. Pierce County, which is where Tacoma is, took that's actually a typo, which of course you only notice on the airplane once you've already loaded it up, right? So the bottom thing is supposed to say Thurston County. Pierce County folks they did a pilot. They were hoping to go for menu labeling legislation or regulations, but first they decided with their health department director to do a pilot of 24 non-chain restaurants and actually went in, worked with these local restaurants, a lot of them were ethnic restaurants that were just sort of cooking, you know, very informally, didn't have recipes, didn't have amounts, did intensive work with them to figure out what the recipes were all about and then to establish menu labeling in these 24 chain restaurants. And then finally, in Thurston County, they took a very different approach and they worked very closely with the local restaurant association and with one franchise, the Taco Time guy, to make minor tweaky changes in the children's menu at Taco Time and do a little bit of nutrition labeling. So very different approaches. To study these, we used a case study design, did interviews with 30 folks in the three counties. And to really try to understand how policy happens, I think we're all coming to an understanding that we need to start developing frameworks and theories. And so we looked at the advocacy coalition framework and tried to apply this to what happened in the three counties to see how useful it would be to us as public health nutrition practitioners. And the very short version of this is that there's in this framework, there's a policy subsystem of folks who come together around an issue. There's usually at least a couple coalitions. So there's the public health folks, say, in tobacco, talking about how we really need to get rid of tobacco and what can we do. And then there's the, you know, tobacco industry and the farmers saying, whoa, wait a minute. And so they come together over time and kind of form this policy subsystem. Stuff happens, the messiness of policy, there are decisions, and then there's an output. So that was the model we were looking at in terms of how restaurants and health departments came together in these three cases. So you'll see in the model that there's the concept of relatively stable parameters and external events. And in general, in the interviews we did, even with the restaurant folks, everybody acknowledges obesity is a concern. It's pretty hard to deny that. And they also acknowledge that meals away from home are an important thing. We eat away from home a lot. It's what people do. If we're going to really affect diet, we need to think about meals away from home. And everybody acknowledged that restaurants need to be profitable. So these are kind of the parameters we're working in. And the external events were pretty interesting. One thing that happened with most of these things happened around 2007, 2008, when we were really starting to go south in terms of the economy. So that influenced all three counties. Those were in different ways, but they certainly were external events. And also, each of the counties had external funding for policy systems and environmental work, mostly through STEPS to a Healthier U.S. But there had been some softening up. People had worked with restaurants. They played around with ideas. There had been some movement before they started really making their decisions on where to go with this. Another external event, the King County precedent policy, had very different impacts on King County and Pierce County. In King County, they were like, yeah, let's go for it. If New York can do it, we can do it. And by the way, let's talk to their lawyers and not, like, get sued. So whatever New York did, let's not do that piece. So it was very inspiring in King County. The folks in Pierce County were like, whoa, we don't want to go to court. Who has the money and the time for that? Whoa, look what happened in New York. Let's not do that. Let's make nice with the restaurant. So very same event, very different outcomes. CSPI, Margot Wutan, I know she got an award last night. Yay. I mean, she just blew into town like a storm and had meetings and mm-hmm. testified, and there's just no doubt that that was very helpful, that external event of having CSPI on board with this. In Pierce County, their vision of their original work with the restaurants was, we'll do a pilot and then we'll move on and do some more regulatory thing. But in the meantime, it looked like federal legislation was really going to happen, and so they backed off on that. So that really sort of, then they sat around and waited for it to happen and figured they didn't have to do that. So you can see that really teasing out what happened outside of the counties is an important component of what happened. Another big difference was this whole policy subsystem. In King County, the Board of Health was really into it. And our public health director was a new guy on the job, and he was putting his stamp on things, and he was all about policy change. So it was a very proactive situation. The HEAL folks, the healthy eating and active living folks staffed this whole thing. The restaurant owners and industry, there was this long saga that's too much to talk about here, but they sort of eventually coalesced into this system where they sort of understood each other and were able to work together. It was really a very rich policy learning environment. In Pierce County, there was less involvement, certainly not much with the Board of Health or the Health Department Manager. It was more on a staffing level. And in Thurston County, it was pretty much all staffing level. So part of that's driven by the composition of the Boards of Health. So this is the picture of the King County Board of Health. Very important people, you know, mayors and council members and everything, wearing these T-shirts that say, this is public health. So they are on board. They also include, you know, there are actually designated positions for non-elected health professionals on the board. So you can imagine why they might have a different approach. Down at the opposite, Pierce is kind of in the middle. Thurston County, however, their Board of Health is three county commissioners who they are just the commissioners over health, over everything else. They're independently elected. They stand for election. They're very responsible for what happens. So it's a very different political climate. Thurston's also got a lot of rural conservative voters. So this drove a lot of what happened as well in the three counties. All right, one of the big things about the model is the importance of policy beliefs. And to me, this is one of our real take-home messages, that the folks who developed the model say we have deep core beliefs. that really aren't going to change. So the relative value of freedom versus the value of justice or social justice, the value of fairness, the population of population health as a priority, those are deep core beliefs that we act on in the policy realm. Then there's this next level policy core beliefs, which kind of starts to be something we might change about in time. They're not deep personal convictions, but they're things like education versus regulation. Oh, we'll just tell them when they go up to McDonald's that they need to eat this and this and this, instead of regulating that McDonald's actually do something. So this was a big tension through a lot of the interviews we did. And then the secondary beliefs are the ones that may be changeable. So for instance, we started in King County requiring people with 10 sites to do labeling, and then it went up to 15, and now it went up to 20. So it's kind of like how you do it and the negotiations around that. So in King County, you can see from our interviews with people, regulation was it. Everybody we talked to was on board. Even some of the restaurant owners were on board with this because they thought it was a fairness thing. I want to serve healthy food, so I want to brag about it. And the people who weren't happy about it, frankly, didn't return our phone calls. So this is a biased sample, but there was real support in the restaurant community who were proud of what they were doing. So humans are resistant to change. We need environmental change. Citizens are entitled. It's a right to have nutrition information. You know, if we know what's in our clothing, we should know what's in our food. And Pierce County was really divided, as played out then, in terms of what kind of action was taken. Some of the Board of Health members and public health practitioners thought we needed regulations. Others didn't. And there was a lot of tension and discussion there. In Thurston, very strong feeling, whoa, public health has no business regulating anything. We're in a recession. Businesses are hurting. This is like the last thing our businesses need us to do to them. So very profound effect of policy beliefs. So this idea of policy-oriented learning, I already said it really happened most in King County. The Restaurant Association was active in all three places, as were local restaurants. But kind of in some of the cases, they just sort of won without really a battle. And in King County, they learned to play relatively nicely together. So it was a very good example of this long-term policy learning, which I think bodes well for future stuff that's coming down the line, sodium or whatever it is. They're going to be able to sit down and work it through. So what did we learn that we can apply to our practice for policy development? I think there's three things. One is I think the models can be helpful. I think we really need to pay attention to these core policy beliefs and fully understand them. And I want to propose some lessons that can be learned. So using models to inform practice, this coalition framework has been used. It's just all over the literature. The latest review found 80 other policy processes. So if we're serious, we can read some of those and we can learn from other things, especially things like tobacco, but transportation and other examples of what's worked and what we might want to do. It also really takes a long-term view, which I think is really helpful for some nutrition policies. You know, that it takes 10 years for this coalition and the policy learning to really develop fully so that we can work within that structure. I think we can use some of the constructs to guide our planning. I think, though, that we need to be really flexible. I mean, it worked in King County. The framework just fell totally apart in Pierce and Thurston County. So there are many other, you know, there's the Kingdon model of the windows and the stages heuristic and all kinds of other models. I think we can pick and choose and use these constructs in a way that's very useful to us. But they give us a start in thinking about something. So that's the lesson about models. I've already talked about this importance of core policy beliefs. You know, should we give freedom to industry? Is that a really top priority? Or do we as consumers have a right to know? Do we just educate people? Because, of course, once we tell them to do something, they always do it in terms of nutrition. Or do we try to do something more with regulation or what combination of things? Is it environmental change? Do we try to steer people in the right way? Or do we really have individual responsibility? And these, of course, are false dichotomies, totally. But we need to think about where people are coming from when we come to them with our ideas, because they maybe have some pretty core beliefs that are not ones that we share. I think these two quotes that I took out of our transcripts really it really tells the story. When society and communities and environment are shaping people, encouraging people to be healthy, then it's our role, or to be unhealthy, then it's our role to step in, especially if there are societal consequences. So that is our role of public health practitioners versus this was right after the Affordable Health Care Act passed. It's still a free country, you know, even after yesterday. We still have choices to make. The less mandated, the better. So that pushback is going to be there, and it's driven by core policy beliefs. Okay. And then finally, what did we learn? Well, certainly it was incredibly helpful in King County to have the leadership support, the new director of public health, the board of health on board, the fact that Margot came into town, the fact that the New York lawyers and the King County lawyers were talking together to avoid getting us in the same kind of trouble that had happened there. There's very strong support. I went to this hearing, actually testified at this hearing. It was just amazing. All sorts of doctors and people with diabetes, and they did just an amazing job of bringing out the people who were in support of it. The restaurant people came too. There was a lot of theater. They strung out this menu that went all the way across the front of the hearing room saying, this is what our menus would look like. And then they got out the wine list, for we have a franchise in town that has serves wine. And this is what you would do to our wine list. So wine got exempted. But anyway, it was just sort of a fun policy process to watch. From that point of view, I think the other message is that policy unfolds over time. This kind of PSC work in King County has been going on for many years. The board was sort of ripened up. They passed some other resolutions around the work that had been going on with Steps to a Healthier U.S. and obesity prevention, so they were ready to take this next step. And the advocates then were ready too, because we'd been thinking a lot about this for quite a while and trying to understand what needed to happen. Also, external events have variable impact. So what happened in New York got King County energized. It really scared off other people. So we need to be aware of how that's going to play out. And for sure, in terms of the composition of our boards of health, local policy context totally matters in terms of what health department people are going to be able to take on. Okay, so I leave you with that message, and I look forward during Q&A of hearing of any experience you all have had, because I bet you you're all from different places that have different political contexts, and we could apply these principles the same way. Thank you.